It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Well, it's hard to believe it's already August 29th and 30th, depending on when you listen to this. Where did not only the month of July go, but where did the month of August go? Soon enough, it'll be Labor Day. In my world, the dental industry, the dentists have really done a remarkable job coming back. And at least in my office, just speaking for New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont, dental claims would seem to indicate that people are flocking back to the dentist, and having recently experienced going back to the dentist is really safe, probably even more efficient. So I congratulate our dentists and hygienists, who I've, in an op-ed, termed them, you know, healthcare heroes. I want to do a shout-out to my guests last week, Peter Francisi and Lorraine Merrill, who were talking about communities and consequences. And the Reader's Digest version of that is that we're an aging population in New Hampshire, Maine, and Vermont, and that has a lot of consequences. They put out a book with that title, and you can get it on communities and consequences if you just Google that. And it's something that if you're in public policy, you know, at the either the local or state level, it's definitely a book you'll want to read. And if you want to hear their comments, go on anydelta.com and you get to our radio section. But this week, and with me is Dr. Mike Culver, who's the executive director of the Wright Museum. And Mike, thank you for joining me this week. And I know you're busy with a lot of upcoming activities, including Vietnam, the real war, and memories of World War II. But thank you for joining me. And how are you hanging in this virtual world that we live in now?
Well, it's a strange one, isn't it, Tom? Thanks for having me back on WTPL. Always appreciate that, and it's always nice to talk to you. It's okay, you know. We're not the same as we were, and that's not good. But we're learning to be different, and that's made us look at things a little bit differently. And that's not so bad either, you know, sometimes.
Yeah, I've heard that from a lot of leaders of organizations, whether they be not-for-profits or for-profit, and that it does definitely make you separate the wheat from the chaff, so to speak, and, you know, do only those activities, you know, that are absolutely essential for the organization to thrive. And I know the not-for-profit and arts world has been particularly hit during COVID because of the economics, where companies that may normally have done, you know, more significant sponsorships are doing less or not at all because they're worried about, you know, their existence of their own company. So I salute you for navigating it. Let's take a step back, and I know you and I always chuckle about this, but I think it's important that you basically give, before we kind of segue into the current events coming up, that you segue into the background of the Wright Museum of World War II, and that it's not about the Wright brothers flying, and also, you know, it's not about the Wright brothers, but in the location, everything else, because to me, this is another firm example of what New Hampshire, that we have these jewels, you know, whether it's the Flume, whether it's the Discovery Center, right in everybody's, you know, backyard, and we don't even know about. So give us kind of the, you know, the background on the Wright Museum, and also your extensive background in this field and how you came come up, you know, north of Concord and enjoying and doing a great job.
Sure. You know, it's funny. We get calls for the Wright Museum of Aviation. We also get calls for the Richard Wright Museum, who was a wonderful African-American artist, that there's a museum also. But the Wright Museum, of course, is in Wolfboro, New Hampshire, and it was started in 1994 by David Wright. And its focus is on World War II, the years 1939 through 45. It is not, as some people want to misconstrue it, a war museum. It's a museum about the war years, but its focus is on how Americans united together to be able to fight the war. And so there's a lot more than just war in the museum. We talk about literature and art and economics and fashion and music, and anything that happened in America from 39 to 45 is here at the museum. Now, we've got, you know, 30,000 square feet of museum here, and so there's a lot of things going on in here. And that's good, too, because in this pandemic situation, a lot of people are anxious about going into a small space, and this is certainly not a small space. It's a large space, so we hope people will come and visit us. We've been open since June the 22nd. We usually open May 1st, but because of the pandemic, of course, we wanted to be sure that we were going to, you know, our priority was the health and safety of our visitors and our staff and volunteers. And so with that in mind, we put a lot of safety measures into play, and we've done that, and now we're open, and we're open until October the 31st as usual.
That's awesome. So you're opened on June 22nd following the governor's guidelines, and you're going to be open all the way through the fall through October 31st. The thing I want people to know is your extensive background. So tell us how your extensive background and how did we luck into having you, you know, make your home in Wolfboro, or at least your museum home in Wolfboro?
Well, you know, I don't know if you really want to go there, because
I do. Because a certain amount of luck, there's a certain amount of science, and there's a certain amount of passion. So mix that all together and tell us how you're leading it.
Yeah, well, I've been a museum director and a curator for many, many years. I started in 81 or 82, I think, and was the executive director at the Algonquin Museum of American Art in Algonquin, Maine. And then I went to the Naples Museum of Art in Naples, Florida. And then all of a sudden, boom, I'm here at a history museum in New Hampshire. So I think it's one of those things where if you're a museum director, there are similar things that happen no matter what kind of a museum. Even if you run an umbrella museum, you run into the same challenges and the same problems that all museums have. So if you know how to direct one museum, it's pretty easy to direct another. But I had a real interest in World War II history. I always say two things that interested me in history were the Civil War and World War II, and the Civil War tore us apart, and of course I think World War II brought us back together again. So those two things interested me a lot. And so when I came up to interview for the job, we had a good laugh about an art director coming in to try to direct an art museum, and there were some doubts, and I was one of the ones that had doubts also. This museum has a wonderful mission, and that's to make sure that Americans don't forget that wonderful generation that some call the greatest generation. The sacrifices and the successes that they had during World War II, and to let people not forget those Americans. So it was a seminal period in American history. It changed American life, you know, forever, and it still results in changes that how we live our life today and how we define ourselves as American.
Keep on hoping that maybe it could be a role model for today. And the other thing is, I'm reading right now is Chris Wallace's book on the making of the atomic bomb and all those decision making. And it's just interesting. It was definitely the the greatest generation, because one interesting thing about that project, for example, I know I'm segueing here off the topic a little bit, but like nobody, you know, loose lips sink ships. No one said a word about it yet. You know, many, many people were involved in the project, so I doubt that could happen in today's social media work. But so the website is writemuseum.org, and it's Wright, WR. And if you want to become a member, how do you go about that, Mike?
Sure, you can go online and you can join as a member there. You can give us a call if you want to, and our number is 603-569-1212. and ask about membership. You can stop by the museum and pick up a membership application and fill it out and become a member that way also. So there are all kinds of ways that you can do that.
And I've learned this in interviewing you before, as well as other organizations. Again, it's like a hidden jewel. So obviously you're in Wolfboro, but tell us the address, or is the tank still out in front there? So,
oh yeah, the tank is still coming through the front of the museum. You can't miss us. We're at 77 Center Street. That's Route 28 in Wolfboro, and it's not hard to miss. We're sort of a long brick building, and we have a beautiful memorial garden in the front with flags. With the garden on one end of the museum and the tank on the other. It's pretty hard to miss us.
Great. Again, it is wrightmuseum.org or 569-1212. In the minute or so that we have before the commercial break, won't you tee up Vietnam, the real war, which I understand is going on through September 27th. Tell us about the photographs, et cetera.
Yeah, that's called Vietnam, the real war, and it's photographs, 50 photographs from the Associated Press. It was organized by the Huntsville Museum of Art, Huntsville, Alabama, and the Associated Press. And, you know, people will say, well, what are you doing a Vietnam show? Well, we did Korea, the Forgotten War last year, and 2 years ago we did a thing on that included the Civil War and a couple of other wars that Americans were involved in. We're trying to give a overall picture of American history. We focus primarily on World War II, but we also want people to understand other conflicts and how conflicts have shaped America and made America what it is today, and the successes that we've had and the failures that we've had, because we learn from those.
And you have the whole context of how it fits together, and I know that I was so happy last year when you focused some time on the Korean War, because that indeed, other than people remembering that Ted Williams flew bombing missions both in the Korean War and World War II, that's about all that people remember about it. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and this weekend with me is Dr. Mike Culver, who is the Executive Director of the Wright Museum of World War II, which is located in Wolfboro on Route 28. Can't miss it with the tank. And the phone number is 569-1212, a great phone number. And the website is wrightmuseum.org, Wright with a W, and it's not related to the Wright brothers flying. It is actually about World War II history, and I think Mike did a great job of explaining. It's all about the period of time, you know, let's say roughly 1939 to 1945, including, I know a couple of years ago when I interviewed Dr. Culver, I learned, you know, there was a focus on the people back in the United States, the women and men who weren't fighting on the front lines in Europe or Japan, and on what their roles were. So it's kind of an exciting thing. And then, as Mike was explaining before the commercial break, giving the whole context of war, so there is now going on a can't-miss exhibit, I'm told, called Vietnam, the Real War, presented by Service Credit Union with additional support from John and Evelyn Frank and the Weirs Publishing Company. So I congratulate you in giving people that, you know, that entire context. So thanks for leading, and thanks for you know, making thriving even in this kind of challenge, you know, that we face, all not-for-profits and arts and museums, particularly hit by the pandemic. So with that kind of pitch, I hope we engender some interest here, and that people will become members of the Wright Museum. Again, you can call 569-1212 or wrightmuseum.org. So shifting gears a little bit, you delayed your opening into June 22nd, but you have enough square footage where people can be socially distanced and come. Tell us, I know there's a lot of planning on this. October seems like a a ways away, but before you know it, it'll be Labor Day, and then you'll be stressing out about this exhibit. So tell us what's going on between October 4th and October 31st in terms of memories of World War II.
Yeah, Memories of World War II is just one of the best photography exhibitions about the war that I've ever seen. We have the show, which is from the Associated Press archives. We have that on extended loan here at the museum, and they were nice enough to let us have that. We've had that for, gosh, I guess 3, 4, 5 years. And every once in a while, we get some of those photographs out and show them again. And every time we show, there are 120 photographs in that show, and we show about, 50 or 60 usually. And they really are some of the most dramatic and iconic images that you'll see. You know, the raising of the flag at Iwo Jima is one of them, and some of the D-Day photographs of the landing craft getting ready to land on at D-Day. So they are really photographs that are historic, and they really tell the story of World War II in photographs. They're great, you know.
It's like you said, it's unmatched, this encompassing visual overview. And I'm like you. I mean, I'm not a museum curator, but I love World War II history. And some of the other photos you have are the German army, you know, coming down the Champs-Élysées. I think, you know, and I've only visited Paris once, but when I did, it was like I said, oh, God, I can't imagine what it was like if you were a Parisian and there were German soldiers in your country and your, and you know, in your city. And I think, I guess we were lucky that they didn't end up, you know, destroying it as they were starting to lose the war. You also have a photo that I also felt amazing to see at one point, FDR, Churchill, and Stalin at the Tehran conference. Now, how did you, remind me again, how did you land or borrow these you know, these photographs, and how does that whole process work? I'm assuming you have to sign away your firstborn to make sure that they get returned or whatever. Tell us about that.
You're just about right, but this exhibition, I had shown at another museum that I was at before I came here, because it's of course there's some of the Associated Press has some of the most wonderful photographers, photojournalists that there are. And they really are an art form. And so I did show this show at an art museum. And then when I came here, I said, my God, this has got to be here. You know, it just has to be here. And so I called the Associated Press, and they had retired the exhibition. And I was so upset, because I said, gosh, this is such a great thing. I said, you know, if retiring it, he just got it socked away, you know. And he said, yeah, it's just... AP said it's just in the warehouse. I said, what about letting us take it and putting it here? And they said, well, let me think about it. And they did, and they gave it to us on extended loan. So we were so very lucky. I had known some of the people at Associated Press, and it was just lucky on our part to be able to have that show and have it here. And it is a tremendous show. It really is.
And, you know, as chair of the State Board of Ed for many years, no longer, one of the things that I always enjoyed about the Wright Museum, it basically gives a young person an engaging intro to this kind of period of, you know, world history, because it seems like history is harder and harder with so many course requirements, and everybody's sort of, you know, running around. So I think for young students to actually see these exhibits, I'm sure, is eye-opening. And that leads to my next question. I know we don't know what schools are going to be doing, whether they're hybrid or virtual. But
yeah,
prior to COVID, I'm assuming you had schools visit up in Wolfboro.
Sure, we usually had over 2,000.
Wow.
Students
nice.
Visit, and that was mostly during the winter months when we're closed. You know, we're open from May through October, and then those other months, we're preparing the museum for the next 6 months. And so during those periods, we have school kids who come in and school groups who come in, and they phone us and they say, we'd like to come on a certain date. And they come in, and they really have the museum to themselves. And we take them around, the staff does, and some of the volunteers, and we talk to them about what they're going to see. And the teachers, of course, are teaching courses and classes about those things. So, just to use an example, and this is not the only thing, but we have three different tanks in the collection. We have a Pershing tank, a Sherman, and a Stuart tank, which we have in our military gallery. And for a student to hear and to talk to hear about and to see photographs of a Pershing tank is amazing, but to stand next to one of those Pershing tanks puts a whole other spin on education. And that's the whole way with the museum. You go through the time tunnel, which has rooms from 1939 to 45. Each one of those years has its own room in the time tunnel, so you see all of the things that happened. You stand up next to fashions during that period. You listen to Burns and Allen on the radio. You see Bob Hope. You know, you see how people taught, how you learned in school. You see the sports things. Everything about America that happened during that period, you can stand next to, hear, see, while you're at this museum, and that always makes it, field trips I know are things which are hard to arrange, especially nowadays. But when you can come and see those things and stand next to them, it puts a whole nother spin on education.
You got an extended learning opportunities, and you're putting a huge smile to my face. You know, listening, because I realize things have changed since COVID, and it may be a while before, you know, schools are physically back. But in the past, that's exactly what we had in mind, that people, the kids, the students would learn more if they actually see it. Now, this exhibit, it's amazing. Again, this is, again, under the heading of, like, Jewels in New Hampshire, but I believe in its entirety, it was last shown, like, in 2015, and you've landed it here in Wolfboro, so I congratulate you.
Well, thanks. It's, you know, you asked it a while ago, and I really didn't answer it, completely. But shows like this, special shows, we have our own displays, of course, that we show, but we also try to have two to three different special shows in during the summer, during our season, and you sort of go looking for them, you know. Like, for instance, next year, we're going to have an exhibition on the WASPs, which were the women who flew service pilots, who flew planes during World War II. And we're going to have a show on World War I America. And then we're going to have one called Shaped by Conflict, which we curated here. And those kinds of exhibitions, the WASP exhibition and the World War I, would never be seen unless we bring it here to Wolfboro. And so we're on the lookout all the time for special shows that we think will make a difference in the education of our audience and students. And as you say, sometimes you have to sign away a large portion of your budget to those things, and that's why we love sponsors who come in and say, my gosh, you're doing a great job. We love to help you with that, because they don't come cheaply.
Exactly. And towards that end, as we kind of close, call Dr. Mike Culver at 569-1212 if you're a corporation like Northeast Delta Dental and want to give back. The website is rightmuseum.org, right with a W. If you want to become a member, again, 569-1212 or the website rightmuseum.org. So we need both members and corporate sponsors so Mike can continue this leadership. Take a visit out there. It is open. It's on Route 28 in Wolfboro, hard to miss with the big tank. And right now, until September 27th, we have the exhibit, Vietnam, the Real War. And then after that, shortly, we have Memories of World War II, photographs from the Associated Press, and seven of those associates at Associated Press won Pulitzer Prizes. And these are some of the most famous photos that sometimes you see when you see some history, you know, on TV.
And Tom, don't forget to tell people that we're open Monday through Saturday from 10 to 4 and Sundays from 12 to 4.
Perfect. And, of course, we're all looking for come socially make sure you're socially distanced and safe and have the masks and all that, but they are open. There's plenty of space, in the museum. So, Mike, thank you for doing all you are doing for keeping the period of time 1939 to roughly 1945 front and center. It was the greatest generation. And thank you for leading the Wright Museum. And I can't wait to go up and see the exhibit, both either the World War II exhibit, which starts on October 4th, or Vietnam on it's already going on, and it ends on September 27th. Dr. Mike Culver, thank you for joining me this weekend at Northeast Delta Dental.
Thanks, Tom. And don't forget, we did a whole bunch of renovation in here this winter. So when you come, and if you've been here before, you're going to see a whole new museum inside.
Perfect. And it's easy to get to. It's minutes from Concord, 569-1212, Route 28 in Wolfboro, WrightMuseum.org. Dr. Mike Culver, thank you for joining me.
Thanks, Tom.